Ezekiel this morning, chapter 2, some more prophecy for you. Second message of our series, talking about the world of opinions, not only talking about the opinions of the world or our opinions in the world, but actually where is the truth in all of it? Where can we find truth and how can we participate in the truth of all of it? Before I get too far into it, I'll just mention to you, this is just something that I've added on since yesterday. Me and Johnny Bennett went fishing yesterday, had a good time yesterday, and some of y'all are like, what? You went fishing? Right? Because it was raining the whole day, and I think it was a couple times, wasn't it, Johnny, when it didn't rain, like for like 2 minutes, and then it kept right on raining, and we got wet. And we caught one fish. Well, Johnny caught a fish. And that was not the traditional way of catching a fish, but it's still caught, right, Johnny? Took it home. So it's caught. So why would you go fishing all day just to catch one fish and get rained on? Well, one, because we just wanted to. We thought it'd be a fun day to go. We went fishing. We caught a fish. Even if we didn't catch a fish, we still had a good time. We still spent time together. We still got to be out there and go fishing, which is what we like to do. Why am I talking about this? Because making disciples is exactly like fishing. Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. That's what he told the fellas, right? He said, I'm going to send you into the world and you're going to go fishing for other disciples. You're going to find people that want to believe that I'm the Christ. Right? Now, there's a whole bunch of other people in this world that like to fish, like me and Johnny did yesterday. There's a lot of people in this world that would call themselves fishermen, men and women. But I wonder how many of them were actually out fishing yesterday. And how many of them caught fish? I can tell you this, I can promise you this, the only ones that would have caught fish were the ones that were out fishing. Would y'all agree with that? If you don't put your line in the water, you're not going to catch nothing. You're just going to sit there and wish you could go. If you're not out making disciples, you won't ever succeed in making disciples. Make sense? Why am I saying all of this? Because last week, we talked about Jonah, and last week we saw how Jonah's opinion about other people interfered with his mission that God had him on, or that God instructed him to take part in, right? Now, we also saw that God had his way, didn't we? And God still used Jonah, because Jonah finally relented. I won't really say 100% submitted to, but he relented and gave in and did what God told him to do, but he threw a fit about it, and the only thing that happened to Jonah was that he missed out on the whole experience of watching God do what God does in the lives of other people. And he had to learn a lesson. He had to have a wrestling match with God, right? Because to him, the situation wasn't what we call in the fisherman's world fair weather. He didn't want to go fishing because the weather wasn't the way he wanted it to be. But God said he wanted him to go fishing anyway, and he ended up going fishing. Today, we're going to talk about another man who God used in great ways, another prophet. He was actually a priest at the time, and he had priestly duties. Or at least he was young enough, he really didn't get involved. Well, he wasn't old enough to do all of what the priests do, but he was in line to do those things, right? And we're going to see what God instructed him to do and how it applies to us when it comes to making disciples in a world full of opinions that don't seem to be conducive to go fishing for disciples, right? Whereas the world is not ready to hear the gospel. Nobody wants to hear the gospel. It's not the most favorite thing for them to do. If it was, y'all'd be crammed in here, wouldn't you? So let's kind of focus on that a little bit as we look into our scripture this morning. Green means on. Now, chapter 2 of Ezekiel, right? This is the people of Israel had rebelled against God. They had fallen away from God. They had neglected their commitment to God, and God had gotten fed up with it, and they had been exiled, and they are now over in Babylon, right, suffering the consequences of their lack of faithfulness to their God, the one whom they said, you'll be our God and we'll be your people and we will follow you. And this is what's happening. This man, Ezekiel, is called. And if you study the entire book of Ezekiel, you'll learn a lot of things, because this book is a prophetic message that shows the gospel. Right? It's like a side-by-side picture. His life and his ministry is a picture of the gospel message of Jesus coming into the world and saving those who are lost, and then dying and resurrecting and going to come back. All of it is prophetic. Here we are, chapter 2 and verse 1. Verse 1 and 2 say this. He said to me, well, let's go back there. Let's go back a couple of verses before I get too far. Here he is in verse 25 of chapter 1. Go back a page. Then there came a voice from above the expanse over the heads of the, as they stood with their lowered wings, above the expanse over their heads was what looked like a throne of sapphire, and high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. Verse 27, I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire, and that from there down he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. So this is the account when God came to Ezekiel to give him his mission, to give him his instruction, just like he did for Jonah. God said to Jonah, here's what I want you to do. Here's what's going on. And here's the presence of God being exposed to Ezekiel. And this is the way he describes it. I wanted to read all of that because I wanted you to see his reaction when it says, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And he said, when I saw it, I fell face down. Have you ever imagined if the Lord would show himself to us in this way, or any way near like this today, what would our reaction be? Think about it. It's healthy to think about that from time to time, because we need to make sure that we are in line with who God really is and who we really are and how that relationship works. Because if we ever get away from that kind of a reaction, we're in danger. Just like the Israelites got away from it. And they were kicked out of the promised land. What was promised them, what they had gained by God's faithfulness. And they were kicked out of it. They were taken to captivity. They were back to slavery. They went from Egypt to the promised land, and now they're back in slavery again. Not because of any other reason except for they got away from the reality of who God is and who they are. And here's Ezekiel, and the presence of God shows up. And this is several years. This is probably four or five years into their captivity. And the presence of God shows up to Ezekiel, and he falls flat on his face. And now we go to verse 1 in chapter 2. He said to me, Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you. Remember when God was talking to Job after Job had suffered so much, and you go till the end of the book of Job, and God comes to Job and he's going to teach him a few things, because he was faithful, but he had to learn some things as well. And God says to Job, hey, stand, I'm going to tell you some things, and I want you to stand up and take it like a man, is what he said. And the best thing a father can ever do to his son is look him straight in the face and give him instructions, eye to eye. You look at me, and I'm going to give you some wisdom. I'm going to give you something that you need because you love him and you want him to know and to do right. It's a serious situation. So he says, verse 2 says, as he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. Now, go back to this question. I said, how would you think you react to God and his glory, all of his glory before you, as was with Moses on the mountain? Remember, Moses is like, I want to see you. And God's like, you can't look at me or you'll die. Ezekiel's saying, he's like, I couldn't even bring myself. Even though God told me to stand up, I couldn't even bring myself up in the presence of God because of his holiness. And you see, he says, the Spirit of God had to lift me up. The Spirit of God had to lift me up so that I could receive what God had for me to hear. Now let's go back to our, if you were here for Sunday school, right? What's important is that we listen to God. What's important is that we study what God has to say and think about it and let the Spirit of God reveal truth and apply it, help us apply it, right? The Spirit of God has to lift us up into the presence of God, and the Spirit of God has to bring us into the presence of God covered by the blood of Christ. If we think we're going to learn something on our own and gain wisdom on our own, we will most likely miss something. So then he says, verse 3, he said, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me this very day. The people to whom I'm sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. That's verse 3 and 4. So here's his instruction. What's his instruction? Because, see, remember, Jonah was sent to the Ninevites, which were the enemy. They weren't the Israelites. They were people who didn't care about God, people who rebelled against God if they even knew about God. Had no clue and no clue that they needed to care about God. And that's why Jonah had a problem with it. His opinion was, I hate those people. If you missed that message, it's on the YouTube page. You can go back and listen to it. It's worth it. Listening, because this all goes together. God is saying to Ezekiel, I want you to go and talk to these people, the Israelites. Go and talk to my people. Well, look what he says about them. He says, I'm sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation. In other words, he didn't have to go anywhere. There was no need for him to run away. There was no need for him to hide because he's already in the mission field. And he says, to a rebellious nation that rebelled against me, that they and their fathers have been in revolt against me this very day. So his assignment is to preach to God's people that they have sinned. Isn't it typical that God always has to point out to people, us, that we've sinned against him? Right? It used to frustrate me every time one of my parents would call me in the room to lecture me on what they already know I did or didn't do, and then make me stand there and explain the whole thing to them. Like, you already know. Why do I have to? Y'all know what I mean, right? It's because they want me to understand the magnitude of the situation and what had happened. And ultimately come to a point where I was confessing that it happened or didn't happen. Make sense? This is the way God is doing. It's not that God is mad or it's not that God is wrath, trying to push his wrath onto people because of he hates people. It's because they're away from him and he wants them to get that right. He wants them to be restored. That's what the entire book of Ezekiel shows. The Spirit of God came upon him and gave him this mission. Here's how that applies today. Go into the world and make disciples. So now, I didn't talk to Justin about picking out any scripture for this morning for his opening statement that he likes to do for you guys, which I think is great because you guys get a little bit more scripture and it gets you ready for worship. But he couldn't have picked a better part of scripture to talk about because our mission, God has called us to go into the world and make disciples. Amen. Go into a world full of people who have rebelled against God. Go into a world who seems to be turning away from God. And if we focus on that in a way that says the people who aren't saved and those only, we're missing the assignment. Go into the world and make disciples of who? All nations, all people, everybody you come in contact with, we are to make an effort to bring them closer to God. They need to be saved, and let's help them do that. Let's move them in that direction. If they're already saved and they're off the path, let's help them get back on the path. That's what disciple making is. It didn't say go baptize people and get them saved. It said go make disciples. Teaching each other about the Lord, teaching each other about the ways of Christ, growing in Christ together, and inviting those who aren't saved to participate alongside of us in making disciples. That's what the assignment is. And here's the thing, it will be hard. That's what he's telling Ezekiel. He's like, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go talk to these rebellious people, these stubborn people, and I want you to tell them that I love them. Now, you think that would have been easy for him? Here's this young priest, right? He's got to go into this world full of people who are mad and angry and upset because in their mind, God has forsaken them because they're in captivity, not understanding it is their own sin that put them there. And he's got to go in and say, hey, God, you guys are rebellious sinners, but God wants you to know that you can be restored. Now, it's hard to talk to somebody that's mad. If you don't believe me, ask somebody that you've been mad at. Right? They'll tell you, yeah, you were hard to talk to when you were mad at me. If you don't believe me, if you're married, you don't understand. I had to say that, see if y'all are still paying attention. Here's the warning, verse 5. He says, and whether they listen or fail to listen, verse 5, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Right? There it is, right there. Whether they listen or fail to listen. God, here's God's instruction to Ezekiel. I want you to go share the message to these rebellious, stubborn people. Just go tell them what I said to tell them. Thus saith the Lord. And God said to Ezekiel, he said, whether they fail to listen or whether they listen, you go tell them. Because either way, they're going to know that I sent the message. Now let's go back to the gospel. Let's go back to our assignment. Let's go back to the Great Commission. And he said, go into the world and make disciples. Right? Preaching and teaching and baptizing. Everything that the gospel calls for. Participating in the gospel, participating in the kingdom of God. And he said, I'll go with you always. That's great news. Nowhere in that instruction, and anywhere in the Bible, does it say that Jesus told us to go make people believe anything. Force people to believe anything. Now, we can persuade. We can try everything we got in us with God's help. We can try to persuade people that this is the truth and maybe you should consider it, right? But whether they listen or fail to listen, they will have heard the gospel. No one will stand in the presence of God and say, I didn't know. I never heard. It's not going to happen. What does that say? What does that say to me? That says to me that if I choose not to obey as a believer the instructions that God has given me, it's not going to interfere with his message getting to everybody in the world. Hard lesson I had to learn when I started preaching. When I got saved and then I figured out I was called to preach, it was in my mind for some crazy reason. I guess it was just because I was naive enough to think this way. But I thought that I had to go out and save everybody in the world. Like literally, I gotta go everybody. And I'm looking back at that and I'm thinking the exact same thing y'all are thinking. Well, you thought a lot of yourself, didn't you? Everybody in the world? In reality, God didn't say to go and save anybody. He said, just go tell everybody that Jesus saves. And let the Spirit of God work in the lives of everybody else. Whether they listen or don't listen. And here's another thing. I learned this in youth ministry. When I did youth ministry, it was like I did everything I could do to properly do whatever it is I was called to do when it comes to youth. Junior high, middle school, whatever y'all call it, junior high, middle school, and high school, and even the children. And it got to a point where I would sit back and I would wonder, I'm like, are these kids even paying any attention to me? Do they even care? All they care about is having fun, playing games, and eating sweets. And at some point, it got to that point. And not that I didn't love the kids or nothing. It was just, you know, you don't see any evidence that they're paying attention about the teaching that we work so hard on. And then the next thing you know, as time goes by God's grace, you can see a little bit of evidence. Okay, well, they were listening. They did hear some things. And they did grow, and God did use some of those things, right? So is it about getting everybody saved, or is it about continuously preaching the gospel and letting God do what he does with it? Yeah, I think the second part is the mission, isn't it? Especially in a world where, what we talked about last week, the modern day gnashing of teeth. Everybody is out to be offended by everything, and everybody's out to attack everybody else who doesn't think the way that they think, and it's all us against them and me against everybody else kind of society around the world. And if we as believers, as the church, fall into the trap of getting in line with that or participating in that, we will never be doing what God has called us to do. Because there's no way that we will ever faithfully preach the gospel by the way that we live, by the way that we talk, by the way that we study the Bible, by the way that we share the gospel when the opportunity presents it, by the way that we preach the gospel during church services or whatever. We'll never be faithful if we have our opinions about other people and who should and who shouldn't hear the gospel, like Jonah did. Because then we'll start thinking, well, this person probably won't hear me. This person probably won't want to listen to what I have to say. And if we base our disciple making on who will or won't hear us, who wants to hear us, who doesn't want to hear us, then we will gravitate to people like ourselves, and we will only talk to the people who already believe what we believe. And the gospel message is, and the instruction for the Christian is, to go into the world and preach the gospel, period. To everybody, whether they listen or not. This is why it doesn't bother me if somebody falls asleep while I'm preaching. It doesn't bother me if somebody gets up and walks out because they got something else more important to do. It does not bother me at all. As far as on a person, I don't take it personal is what I mean. It does bother me that they're not interested in hearing anything about the gospel. It does bother me that something else is more important in their relationship if it's something that's not urgent. But it doesn't bother me. That's between that person and the Lord. And sometimes, to be honest with you, there's a good reason why somebody would fall asleep. Maybe something was going on the night before that took their attention and they can't help it. There's no problems there. If we preach the gospel based on who would want to hear it and who wouldn't want to hear it, there'd be very little limited opportunities to preach. And we would never make disciples. In other words, if we wait till the weather's right to go fishing, we will never go fishing. Is that right? Is that right, Johnny? If we wait until it's not raining and the sun's shining and everybody's happy and it's not too hot and it's not too cold and the fish are biting if you throw an empty hook and you catch fish, if you wait for that moment, you will never go fishing and you'll never catch fish. But if you stand out there, no matter what's happening, and you put a line in the water, you put the gospel out there, if you love people the way God wants us to love people, no matter what the social atmosphere is, no matter what kind of storms are going on in society, if you just go out and love people, you'll make disciples. You'll make disciples. Me and Johnny drove home yesterday thinking about what a great day we had, standing in the rain getting wet, not catching many fish. It was a great day. No particular reason other than the fact that we were doing whatever we felt like we wanted to do at the time, and we got to spend time with each other, and we got to get fish. There was probably, what, maybe four other people out there, five maybe? You don't succeed unless you go. So then, let's look in the rest of this, and we'll finish up. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 through 9. It's on the board. Jesus taught this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus was notorious for saying things like that. He who has ears, let him hear. If we're going to be like Jesus, and we're going to go into the world and show people who God is and what the kingdom of God is like by the way that we live, by the way we behave, by the way that we talk, by what we talk about, and how we interact with society and the gnashing of teeth that goes on, if we're going to make disciples, it needs to be, let the world hear this. No matter what, I'm going to honor God and who I am and what I do. And I'm going to look for every opportunity in the world to love people the way Jesus did. And I'm going to look for other opportunities to actually talk about the gospel. And maybe even preach a little bit. If nobody ever sees your Christian witness, it still should be what God wants it to be. This is how we get in trouble, because nobody's around. And that's when we do things we would never do in front of other people. This is how we get on Facebook and start running off with our opinions and putting out a bad witness because we're not actually in the presence of somebody else. We're online doing and saying things that we would never do in person. Make sense? So the assignment was to go. And doesn't matter who listens or who doesn't listen, just go. Just be obedient. It's God's business who listens or who doesn't listen. Look at verse 6 through 8, and we'll finish it. And you, son of man, talking to Ezekiel, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid. Though briars and thorns are all around, and you live among scorpions, do not be afraid of what they say or terrified by them. I'm supposed to say, though they are a rebellious house, you must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen. There it is again. For they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Where'd that come from? You ever seen a Matrix movie? You ever like two pills? He's like, you can take this one or you can take this one. That's where I flash back for some reason. God is simply saying, I'm giving you wisdom here and I'm giving you instructions and I'm telling you how to fall in line and be who I want you to be, and I'm making it possible for you to do it if you just what? What's the word? What's the big word for today? And then we'll shut it down. Starts with an O and ends with bay. That's all he's saying. To Ezekiel, he's like, if you just do what I tell you to do, not only you, but the entire nation of Israel are going to be in my hands. It's all taken care of. For the Christian today, for the church today around the world, for our congregation, for me and for you, God is saying, if you just go and do as I instruct you to do, with the help of the Holy Spirit, of course, that's it. There's no more to the instructions. It doesn't say worry about who listens or who doesn't listen. It doesn't say worry about who's saved or who's not saved. It doesn't say worry about someone's opinion about what you're doing and how you're doing it. It doesn't say worry about getting attacked because you're a Christian, even though Jesus warned us that that will happen. Notice that he's talking about going into the Israelites community and preaching the gospel to them, or preaching God's word to them, or saying thus saith the Lord, and he's describing those people as scorpions among you. That's why he's like, don't be afraid of the ones that are scorpions among you. Means that he's telling Ezekiel, even your people will attack you because you're telling them what I told you to tell them. Right? We don't like to be corrected. We don't like to be told we're wrong. When we live in pride, we in general, as a human being, people, when we live in pride, when we're full of ourselves and we think we've done no wrong, it is very difficult for us to receive the truth about that. Because it means we have to admit that we're not who we think we are. That we're not all that. It means we have to humble ourselves and we have to repent. That's why it's so hard for people to get saved. People want God to be God. People want Jesus to be their Savior. But when it comes down to the repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins part and let Jesus run your life part, we got all kinds of problems. Oh, hold on. You mean I can't drive this thing anymore? You mean I can't do what I want to do anymore? This is why people won't listen. I'm saying to you that this particular part of Scripture is showing us about truth. When truth is spoken, people either will or won't listen, and it doesn't matter when it comes to the instructions of God. When God says go out and say the truth, that's what we should do. Go out and say the truth. When God says go out and love people, that's what we should do. So that means we have to love people enough to tell them the truth, tell them the truth in a way that we love, it shows that we love them, but then after that, when hostility arises from it, we should know that this is the result of the truth and not back down from it. Notice I highlighted all the parts where it says do not be afraid or terrified. Why would you warn someone of something ahead of time if there wasn't something bad that could happen? Right? It's like if when you live in the forest, like way back in the forest, or even around here, I suppose, if you tell somebody, take the trash out and make sure you watch out for the bears, why are you telling them that? Not that there might be a bear out there, but because there are bears out there. And there could be one around. Right? So God is saying to the believer, go and make disciples. Go out and tell people that I'm God. Go out and tell people my plan of salvation. Go out and tell people that I'm real and live like it. Live like you believe it. Oh, and by the way, don't be afraid when you get rejected. Don't be afraid of the world when they don't respond to what you're saying, when they actually do respond and it's ugly. Don't even be afraid of other believers that don't like the way you're doing it because they're too afraid to do it. That happens. Oh, yeah, we're not going to love those people. It's because, you know why people say that? Because they're afraid of other people. The reason it's hard to love some people in this world is because you're afraid of their reaction. I'm afraid. If you hesitate when the Spirit of God is leading you into doing something in a moment and you hesitate, it's mostly because of fear of what might happen, right? Of what might happen if you do what God said to do. Now think about that. Where we began, Ezekiel was experiencing the presence of the glory of God, right? And there's part of us that would say, oh, that would be so awesome just one time. It will be awesome, and if you're saved, you will experience that for eternity. But he fell on his face when that happened, right? But we have the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. We have everything we need. And we're less afraid of what God thinks about our disobedience and more afraid of people's reaction to our obedience. Does that make sense? Let's not be those people in this world of gnashing of teeth, modern day gnashing of teeth, where everybody's got opinions and everybody's got thoughts and ideas, and we're living in a world where information travels fast and nobody listens to anybody. We're living in a world where if you're not like someone else, you're probably not going to connect well. But here's the reality. The mission hasn't changed. The gospel hasn't changed, and God hasn't changed. And in reality, if we think about it, people really haven't changed. We're still stubborn. Just go. Love people and love God. Share the gospel. Make disciples. Whether they listen or not. Let's stand together and we're going to sing. The gospel tells us that if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you should repent of your sins and you should be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts chapter 2. If you haven't done that, if you want to do that, come down and do it now. You ready? Let's stand together and sing.